Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. Later on in the show, we're going to be at a modern day, taking a look at Monarch TV. And it's a way that fans can interact with all the great athletics going on at modern day high school. And we'll talk with the director of the program over there, Brian Barsulia. But we're going to kick off the show this week, also at modern day, by focusing on the number one football team in the nation. They continue their march through this harrowing schedule that they're playing this season. But the modern day Monarchs are undefeated and the best team in the nation, according to all the people who vote on those things. And we talk with head coach Bruce Rawlinson.
Have you had a chance to think back on this season now, or is it more just living in the moment right now with what's going on?
No, you don't. You go week to week, Bob. I mean, you just, you know, you try to enjoy the victory on Friday night, but we're right back at work in preparation Saturday morning, and you know, the reflection and that kind of stuff comes after the season. But being the head coach, it's always hard because you see the things you need to work on, and you have to try to force yourself to look at all the positives and the things that the kids are doing well and not focus on the negative. But you want to make corrections and keep the thing getting better because, you know, we got some tough games down the road, so we're not going to worry about what we've done in the past. I say it all the time, you're only as good as your next game.
Right. Is that tough as a coach? You know, you turn on the film, and sometimes you just want to say, hey, where are the things we need to work on? But, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, you need to look at those positives and say that this team's doing a lot of things right now.
Well, I mean, you know, you try to enjoy it. I mean, Amon-Ra last week had a 90-yard punt return that is probably one of the greatest plays, definitely would rank him one of the top 10 plays since I've been coaching. I mean, they had 8 guys have a shot at him, and he made them all miss, and I don't even know how he got out of the pack back on the 9-yard line. But, you know, it is tough as a coach. We try to present the positives, and we do that on Saturday morning when we watch the tape. We're definitely going to compliment them on doing it right, but we're not going to hide from execution mistakes. You know, I'm fortunate we don't have effort mistakes. They're going full speed. You know, in modern day right now, we're concerned about the number of penalties we're getting. This is like the 3rd game in a row where we're in double digits on penalties. So it's something that we're addressing and something that we have to get better at.
Are those things you can clean up in practice, or is this more of a discipline thing with the kids on the field at the time these things are taking place?
I think there's teachable moments in practice, but it's more of a mental thing. We're trying to get the reason why, and then you just keep going over it and over it and over it. Now, hopefully you get it calmed down, and now you're turning it into a positive. But, I mean, we took points off the board on one penalty, and, you know, we had to kick off in the second half from the 25-yard line on another penalty. You know, you get in a game that's of bigger magnitude, and that could be what cost you a victory. So, you know, we're not going to hide from it. We're going to call them on it, and you know, it's like I told the kids, you're giving me 2 options. One is to sit you out for a series or two, you know, for what we call selfish penalties. No reason to commit the penalty. I'm not talking about your holding and questionable calls here and there. I'm talking about blatant unsportsmanlike, and it's not indicative of this football team. I don't know where it's coming from, but it has to get under control. So you either sit them out a couple series, or you got to go to the age old, you know, we're going to punish you on Mondays, and you know, the whole team's going to run for your lack of discipline.
I would think Coach Mighty, your offensive coordinator, has got to wake up with a smile on his face, go to bed with a smile on his face, knowing all the weapons he gets to work with. And it might almost, in a way, be a problem because, you know, you try to spread the ball around as much as you can to all the different people. And this team actually does that. This team does it seems like every week there's somebody different, you know, making plays. I mean, it's just got to be fun to work with him and to see what you guys are able to do to really push the envelope with this many athletes.
Well, and a lot of that centered around JT. I mean, number one, he's smart enough to know, okay, like early on in the Jay Sarah game, they were trying to high low Amon Ra, and JT immediately saw that and started laying it off to the other great receivers that we have. And then you've got Harper and Street ripping it up on the run game. But it all starts up front, as you know. But, you know, with success comes pressure, you know. And no matter what, whether it's self-inflicted pressure to rack up a lot of yardage or whatever it is, but we don't get nervous, I can tell you that. We know what we're capable of doing, and just how long till it starts to fall into sync. You know, and then again, you know, we talk to our offense all the time, you know, don't beat yourself. Again, don't make mental mistakes. You know, Bosco game is an example. We went boom, boom, boom right down there, and then we had a fumble, an exchange problem, which is not indicative of two players that have played together for 3 years, but it's also a big game and mistakes happen. But, you know, and you're talking about the offense, but I think our defense is also doing a tremendous job, and I think we're playing well in special teams.
It's easy to talk about this as a well-oiled machine. It certainly has been, you know, all season long. But as we know, in reality, it's 16, 17-year-old kids, and it can sometimes not be easy for 16, 17-year-old kids to constantly have their target on the back, constantly have the, you know, the this is the big game for everybody. Modern day is the big game for everybody. I mean, pressure, you know, mounts a little bit. Does it help the experience from last year with this group, and that they kind of already gone through this before?
Well, I think it's a good question, Bob. I mean, I tell them, the more you win, the bigger the spotlight, and the bigger the target is on you. You know, the one thing I've learned about this football team, and not just offensively, defensively, I've said this to you and to a multitude of reporters. We have a great senior group, and it's a large senior group, and it's chuck full of good leaders. And the one thing I've learned is at 7 o'clock or whatever time we're going to kick it off on a Friday night, they just punch the clock and get it done. I was nervous last week. I thought we were okay Monday. I thought we had a really, really very, very lackluster performance in practice on Tuesday. We brought it up a little Wednesday, and I was on them. And I was nervous. And it's like one of the kids about an hour before the game, he just kind of looked at me and said, "Don't worry, as soon as it goes off, we'll take care of it." And that's what they do. So, you know, I have to count on that. And that's experience. That's experience. The other thing I've learned with this football team is the bigger the game, the better they play. And it's not that they're playing bad, and they're not taking anybody for granted, but they elevate their play in big games. And if that continues, we could have something great going on here.
Yeah. Do you find the defense feeds off the offense and vice versa, energy-wise, within the game?
You know, what I find is they're all tight. And, you know, yes, the offense enjoys the defense's success, and the defense knows at times they got to cover the offense in the same way with the offense, but it's a close-knit group of kids. They just enjoy playing. They enjoy being around each other, and they have a purpose. You know, they're going to finish business.
The offense gets so much of the headlines here. Obviously, we know that. Was it important for this team to show that defensive dominance in this past game, to shut down such a potent offense, to show that part of it as well?
You know, I don't think they look at it that way, and we certainly don't. You know, we meet as a staff. We talk about it on Sundays. What does the defense need to do? What does the offense need to do? Because they've got to complement each other. You know, sometimes striking too quick puts more pressure on the defense, you know, and so, you know, we have good, healthy dialogue about that. But I guarantee you, nobody ever looks at the other side of the ball. If there's a turnover, they're excited for each other, and they also say, "Hey, I got your back. You know, we'll get us out of this mess, and let's keep going." And that's important to the development of this football team. It's not about the offense. It's not about the defense. It's about the team.
Are you able to keep all the outside stuff off these guys, you know, the number one national ranking, all of that, you know, talk? And are they aware of it? Is it good for them to be aware of it, or do you keep it off of them?
Well, you can't keep it off them because of social media. I mean, they live on their phones. They live on all of the different sites that are available. They know exactly, you know, who's getting what publicity on an hourly basis. So we just don't talk about it. They know, and we know. We focus on the task at hand. All of our focus right now is on Orange Lutheran, you know, and what I've adopted in probably the last month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks is, okay, you have a championship caliber football team. You need to approach it like a champion would. That means you're not fueling the fire on social media. Okay, it means that you understand that, yeah, your success has brought acclamation, but all of that goes out the window with one bad performance. And I think they understand, because of their experience, that these are good football teams that can beat each other. I mean, take a look at Santa Margarita, you know, probably, by what I hear, by all rights, had Bosco beat and let it get away in the end. And that's definitely something I'll remind them of, because it's what I talk about. You cannot underestimate anybody. Otherwise, disaster, and then we're scrambling. We're big on talking about not the rankings, but we're in control of our own destiny right now. We are in control of where we're placed in the bracket for playoffs with the number one seed. And that's, you know, if there's any long-range focus, it's that. Hold yourself accountable to be in 10-0, and then see what the playoff gods have in store for you.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of those standout players. Left tackle Tommy Brown and star wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown. Coming right back, right here, where athletics meets faith.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View, where we continue our look at this modern-day football team, undefeated, number one team in all the polls, locally, nationally. They are the top team. They are the team to beat, and two of the biggest reasons, we're going to talk to them right now. Their big left tackle, Tommy Brown, followed by star wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
When last season ended, and obviously that was a disappointing way to end the season for what you guys thought what it was going to be, did you guys talk at all, or was it just sort of an understanding that, hey, this was going to be, you know, going into the season, you guys were really, you know, intent and maybe had a little chip on your shoulder that, hey, this was going to end differently than last year?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk too much about it. It was pretty good understanding within the seniors that we need to finish it, and it's not really for ourselves. It's we want to win it for Coach Rawlinson. It's been a while since he's had a ring, and that's who we're playing for, and definitely the reason why we're playing with this chip on our shoulder, because last year was the year. And I remember after the game, after the loss, Coach Rawl comes in, he's like, I thought you guys had that. I had no doubt in my mind that you guys were going to win that. And disappointing him like that, I think, has really stuck with us juniors, now seniors. So I feel like that's who we're playing for, and definitely why we want to win.
Yeah, it's obviously a feeling you don't want to feel again. You kind of want to turn the page on it. But in a way, is it good to carry a little bit of it with you, so you know that sting and you want to use that as a motivation?
Definitely. I feel like we definitely used it a lot going into the Bosco game. The seniors were like, all right, it's time to get some back. I mean, we won last year in the Trinity League and game, so we knew this year that we would have to do it again, but we know that we might be able to face them again, and that would be the goal, to get them back again.
Right. It's an old cliche that football games are won and lost in the trenches, you know, and this is a team that on both the offensive, your side, and the defensive line, you guys have dominated, not just this season, but for a couple of seasons. You know, how much pride do you take in your group? Your entire, you know, five man group up front.
Yeah, the offensive line, we're really a brotherhood, and it's we're stacked really. All five of us have D1 offers. And we're all going D1, and it's really a credit to our coach, Coach Ward. He played here. He played at UCLA, and he'd probably be in the league if it wasn't for he had to medically retire. But he's turned us into a great offensive line, and he always tells us how we're probably the best offensive line in modern day history. I'm like, well, we're still trying to write some history, so we'll see if we make through it. And it's an awesome group. We love each other, and it's a team within inside of a team, is what I figured out really quickly when I started playing football. And we just love each other, and it's an amazing group.
Obviously, your job is to protect that golden right arm of JT Daniels. You're the left tackle. You're the blindside guy who protects him. You know, we know how important that job is, but tell us the work that you put into it every week to make sure you don't miss a block on that side.
Well, I mean, it's just trusting my steps, trusting what coach tells me, and playing with confidence, really. This season, being an Alabama commit, I've having to live up to some more expectations, more other than just being JT's protector. Now I'm an Alabama commit, so everyone's eyes on me. So it's just making sure I don't miss a block every play, and just getting that little extra at the end that shows that why I'm going to Alabama and why I deserve the spot to be JT's protector.
Yeah, you bring up the recruitment process. You know, everybody's got an offer here. Everybody's going somewhere. But to go to Alabama, I mean, that's really, I mean, it's the few of the few that get to go to that program to visit with that head coach and be part of that. I mean, what was that experience like to even be considered for that program?
Yeah, I mean, it's truly a dream come true. My dad's an Alabama alum. And,
okay.
Yeah, and the first college football experience I remember is the BCS Bowl and the Rose Bowl, Alabama versus Texas.
Right.
And we're walking down the hill, and someone says, "Roll Tide," to my dad. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, these people are weird. My dad explained it to me, and ever since then I've been saying Roll Tide and watching the Crimson Tide. And I mean, I think it was the most surreal point was when I was visiting with JT and Solomon, and we go into the game locker room, and there's number 75, and they had me try on everything. And once I put on the crimson, I was like, wow, this is the dream that I've been dreaming about. And now to finally be able to be committed and knowing that next year I'm going to be putting that on a regular basis, it's pretty amazing, and it's hard to explain.
Yeah. I noticed that on your offensive line, you guys have consecutive numbers. Is that just by happenstance, or was that something you guys did on purpose?
I mean, it just happened to happen, but it's all so cool. I pointed it out like sophomore year. I was like, we should probably stick with our numbers. So we're all in 70s, but yeah, I like it. It's fun.
Is that really, is that part of the brotherhood of being, because unlike any other spot, it seems like on a football team, maybe the center quarterback thing, but those five offensive, that has to be a cohesive group, or this nothing else works, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything has to work. If one guy, let's say, goes down and we have to bring in another one, it takes that week of practice to make sure everyone's back into the same groove. We have to make sure that whoever comes in as the new guy can be able to get the chemistry. And it's hard to bring in a new guy, but you always do it. You have to do it every now and then if someone goes down. But we've been working together so long. Once we get it together, we're a strong group.
I know it's obviously fun to get into pass block and see that long ball go down the road and get into a touchdown. But I know for an offensive lineman, it's more fun to just maul somebody and then watch Jacoby hit that hole, right?
Yeah, I love watching Jacoby hit the hole. I love just hitting my guy to the ground, looking up and yelling, "Run, Jacoby!" Like it's the best. So yeah, I love run blocking. We're trying to get some more pulls in so that I can show that I've kind of picked up some speed trying to pull around there, and then I'm also hopefully trying to get in the tackle screen. We'll see if that happens.
Nice.
I have to work with Coach Money. See if I got to bribe him a little bit.
Yeah, there we
some
go.
Food.
Maybe at the end of a blowout somewhere, right?
Yeah.
If you guys can get to that spot.
We'll see.
Obviously, we're at the end of the Trinity League schedule. Just a couple games to go. When you look back at the 4 years, if you even had a chance to think about it, obviously, it's senior year, and there's a lot more going on academically and everything else you're taking care of. But do you get to reflect on it at all, these 4 years, and what it's kind of culminated to this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been looking back at it quite a few times because our right tackle right now is a sophomore, Miles, and reminds me of when I was my sophomore year at right tackle, and just like, man, what was I that bad sometimes? Like, not Miles. Miles is good. I was talking, we were watching the Jay Sarah film of when I was at right tackle, and that's the year Jay Sarah beat us. And I was like, wow, we were pretty bad. But Coach Ward came in and got us right. And Miles still sometimes does sophomore stuff, but, like, he's a sophomore. We get it, and we've all been there. But it's fun looking back at that and seeing a little bit of myself inside of Miles.
Okay, so you're battling a little bit of an injury before the season started, uh-huh. and cost you a few games to start the season. How tough was it to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody, you know, starting this great season and not being a part of it right from the start?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, not being able to play the first three games was tough for me. I mean, I didn't play the end of my sophomore season, so I kind of knew what it felt like. But I was just excited to get back on the field, so I knew I had to do my time. I mean, it was like eight or 9 weeks I had to sit out. So 3 weeks in the regular season, preseason. So, I mean, it was hard, especially against the Gorman, to sit out on the sideline, but I was able to do it.
It didn't take you long to get back into the flow and start helping this team. Mm-hmm. Was that really the whole point, is you wanted to get back in there and become part of this and help your team out?
Definitely. I mean, to be back with my team was amazing. I mean, that was my goal, to come back healthy. I didn't want to come back too quick and then hurt it again, so definitely being cautious. But when I came back, I knew it was all go.
The offense was really going. I mean, adding you is another piece mm-hmm. to it. It just makes it even that much more, you know, diverse. How much fun is it to be part of this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think our offense is really dynamic. We've changed a few things from last year. More formations, more run game, more diversity on offense, and I think it's really helped us. So, I mean, our offense is – we have so many ways to score the football, so, I mean, I think we're doing pretty good right now.
Is there, like, a fun competition between the receivers? I mean, the ball gets spread out so much. JT does a really good job, but is there a competition between you guys each day in practice?
I mean, we love to see each other score. We love when we all score. We celebrate with each other, but I think as receivers, I mean, we all want to, you know, score the football, so score touchdowns. So, I mean, I think we compete, but we don't really tell each other that we're competing. But I think we all know that we're trying to compete against each other.
Is there a sense of how special this season already is and what it could be, or is it just more staying in the moment right now?
I would say staying in the moment, because, I mean, last year we had the same record as we are right now. We were 8-0. And we couldn't finish the last game. So, I mean, this year I think we're more focused than we were last year, because we don't want to, you know, have the same ending that we did last year.
What'd you guys learn from last year?
I think just taking it one game at a time, not looking too far ahead. Practice, obviously, you have to be the best practice team there is, because, I mean, if you practice well, that transitions over to the game. So just practicing every day hard and taking it one game at a time.
You know, last year you had your brother with you to kind of lean on, I guess, a little bit. You know, it's always nice to have that brotherly support, you know, him moving on. And now you being the last St. Brown now here in Orange County, you know, kind of representing the family and what has been a great trio of family here to come through. Do you feel pride in that you guys have done so much as receivers here in the Orange County football scene?
Definitely. I mean, being the youngest, I got to learn a lot from my older brothers. I mean, I learned a lot of things in the recruiting process, football. I mean, the whole nine yards. I learned a lot of things from them, too. But, I mean, definitely being the last one, I think, I mean, I'm the last one. This is my last year in high school before we're all in college, so I'm trying to end it with a bang.
Is this the type of team that kind of thrives on what coach says, you know, kind of rah-rah speeches, or is this more of a veteran group now that doesn't really need that kind of, you know, you guys can get yourselves going?
I think it's both. I mean, we feed off what coach tells us. He's a great motivator. But then I think we have 10 or 11 returning stars on offense, so I think we're experienced, like you said. We don't always need the motivation or the rah-rah speech. I think we can turn it on when we want to, because we've done it for so long now. So I think we're well-oiled as a group on offense. So I think that's what really helps our offensive side.
On this team, does the offense feed off the defense and vice versa? Do you guys have that with you? You know, are you trying to feed off that energy from the defense? Do you feel like you give the defense some energy too sometimes?
Definitely. I think it goes both ways. I mean, the defense feeds off us when we score. And then, when they make a huge stop, our offense goes out there with confidence. We got to score.
When it's all said and done at the end, what's that special feeling you want to have at the end of your senior year?
Yeah, I mean, we want to win CIF. That's our goal this year.
One more quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at Monarch TV, and it's a way that modern-day Monarch fans can watch all the great athletics going on at Modern Day High School. And we're going to focus on that program. It's very unique in Southern California. We'll learn all about it when we come back right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. And we stay out at Modern Day High School because they have a very unique program out there. Monarch TV is a student-run program that also incorporates other people that are involved with it. But the focus of it is Monarch athletics and everything going on at Modern Day High School. And it's a way that fans can watch what's going on right on campus. And we talked with the director of the program, Brian Barsulia.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're out at Modern Day High School this week, and we're talking with Brian Barsulia. He's the Director of Event and Media Services here with the Monarchs. And Brian, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to talk with us.
Oh, thank you for having me here today. Glad to be here.
Yeah, let's talk about Monarch TV, because maybe a lot of people do know, especially the people here at Modern Day certainly know, and a lot of the Modern Day alumni who listen into our show, but maybe a lot of other people don't know that the extent of the program here, the television, what goes on here in the school. Let's talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the taping of the games and so many of the athletic events that go on here. But kind of tell everybody about what you do and kind of the behind the scenes of what goes on here at Modern Day with the AV program.
Well, it's been a completely revamped program over the last 2.5 years. We went from doing a few shows, a few news shows here and there, and broadcasting a few games occasionally to a full-blown film and media arts program and event and media services department as well. So we do a daily news show, and we do 40 to 50 live events a year.
Certainly, you know, when I started out, you know, there were very few programs, especially on the high school level, that would even touch this. But it's really a program that's grown, not only Modern Day, but of course, countywide across Southern California. Do you see really a great interest for what's going on here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We really wanted to give students an opportunity to be a step ahead when they go to college or when they start their careers. So we started a film and media arts program so they can have an emphasis in film production and video production, TV production, or behind the scenes, the event management, stagecraft end of it. And we went from 3 years ago having none of our classes that we offered be UC approved to, in the course of a year and a half, we authored and put into place 17 UC-approved film and media arts courses.
Wow, that's really something to grow it that much, that quickly. Does that even surprise you how quickly it's grown?
It was a 2 to 3 year plan that ended up happening over a couple of months. We had a lot of support for it. We had faculty and people that were really involved and dedicated to making it happen.
Give us a little bit about your background. How did you get into this? And, what's been your path to this point here in your career?
Well, my bachelor's is in radio, television, film, and my master's is in English. So for my first 13 years at Modern Day, I was an English teacher and would occasionally help out with the events and Monarch Television, then called MDTV. And then when we were going through some transitions a couple years ago, I got involved with the department and ended up becoming the director of this department here.
So, obviously, it really lends itself to a lot of different things, you know, going on with the school. You can go out and cover not only sports, we'll talk about in just a minute, but I imagine what's going on in the theater department, maybe what's even going on in different parts of the campus.
Yes, absolutely. So it's really two departments now, where it used to be sort of one combined department. We have our film and media arts, that's the curriculum end of it. And then we have our event and media services, which is support for whatever needs support, whether it's performing arts, mass, or the live stream program where we're actually broadcasting events.
Right. So speaking of the live stream, what MDTV originally was doing and now has morphed into, of course, mm-hmm. Monarch TV, so much of it is revolved around the van. When I say the van, the production van that gets rolled out, very impressive. Very few schools, if any, in Southern California have what you have here. Again, it's putting that together and then going out to, right now we're in the middle of football season. We've done a variety of football games, you know, this season that have aired live on a live stream on the NFHS network. This is an undertaking unprecedented maybe in Southern California to have a high school doing this.
Yeah, we have a great support from administration, from everybody in the film and media arts department. We were fortunate enough to be able to design a full electronic news gathering ENG van for the equivalent to television broadcast. So while we're primarily streamed on the internet, we consider what we're doing broadcast TV quality.
Right. So, and as we're following the number one ranked team in the nation, the Modern Day Monarch, you know, football team, what do you find the feedback has been that people are able to sit at home? Maybe if they're not able to get to the game, they're able to watch the game on a live stream.
Yeah, the feedback has been extremely positive, and it's a really neat opportunity for people to see the work that the staff and the students are putting into this. There will be days when we have 13, 14 people involved in the broadcast, and half of them will be students and really helping produce this program and learn about the industry.
Yeah, how important is it to have the student involvement with it? Because really, they're getting the kind of experience that you can only really get in a real world type atmosphere.
It's driven by student involvement. Initially, as we were getting things off the ground, it was a lot of adults and a lot of people that were professionals in the industry. But the goal is to have it be student run and faculty staff overseen. So the goal is for us to teach and then have the students put it into practice.
Do you find that what you're putting out, and I can attest to it, so I can answer the question as well as you can, but I want you to really explain to everybody that this is broadcast quality games that are going out.
Yeah, it really is, and we push ourselves all the time to try to do better quality and as good as we can and as close to what the networks do. And now, granted, we may not have the full teams that some of the networks have, but as we grow, and next year we're actually implementing a sports broadcasting class to bring more and more students into it, or go from last year we had 2 or 3 students involved, this year we have regularly 6 to 8 students involved, and next year hopefully we'll double that and continue to grow.
Yeah, how unique is this? I mean, do you know of any other schools around that are this involved in what this is?
No, I know there are quite a few schools that have live stream programs, but I don't know of any that are this in-depth with what they're doing in terms of live stream and broadcasting.
Do you find any schools that are trying to pick your brain right now, maybe want to do something like this on their own, that they hear about this and go, wait a minute, we could do this too?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Good calls and emails, and at games, people will come and ask our engineer, Greg Martin, about the van he put together and and the process of it. And so, yes, absolutely, we get calls and questions about what we're doing.
Brian Barsulia joining us this week. Modern Day's Director of Event and Media Services. And we're talking about Monarch TV. Really, if you get a chance, get onto the NFHS network. If you want to watch, Modern Day football game, basketball games, volleyball, water polo. Give me some of the other sports, the baseball, right? I mean, there's almost every sport is represented here.
Yeah, really. So we try to get as much variety as we can. So right now, this year, we've already done football, of course, water polo, volleyball. We'll do plenty of basketball in the spring and baseball, maybe a soccer game this year, and continue to grow as the program grows. And you can see archives of games and events at www.modernday.org/livestream. Important to have that www in there, www.modernday.org/livestream. That'll take you to wherever it's archived, whether it's through our own hosting or on NFHS.
I would imagine coaches, alumni, everybody's excited to have this kind of coverage go on here.
Yes, absolutely. And we also do performing arts. So when we have a performing art event, we're covering those as well and giving people a chance to see not just sports, but other things as well, including graduations, performing arts.
Was it a natural here at Modern Day? It's such a high-profile school. Everybody nationwide, worldwide, knows about Modern Day. And on some level, was that a natural to have this, be part of the curriculum here?
I think so. Yeah, it was a evolving curriculum, and it was just as we'd recently changed our schedule to better accommodate electives. And once we went to an 8-block schedule instead of our 6-block schedule that we had previously, we were able to grow elective programs. So it's not just our department that's growing; it's departments across the board here on campus that have grown and offer a variety of electives now for students.
You mentioned, implementing a sports broadcasting, portion of it. What else can be done here to grow it? I'm sure you've got some ideas and some things you're working on to make it even bigger and better.
Well, we want to just continue offering more opportunity. We want to teach kids about the stuff that you do, Bob, where you're announcing and doing the play-by-play or the color color calling, commentating when you're announcing, and really get kids to sit side by side with people like you and really learn the process of doing that for that type of broadcast. But then we also want to just offer more advanced filmmaking classes, more advanced production classes, and give them as many opportunities as possible to really give them practical, worthwhile experience.
Are we seeing kids come out of here that are already at that level when they hit the college level, that they're already that much further ahead?
It's amazing to see how quickly the kids adapt to this and take in what they're doing. When we started this program last year, we were thinking we were 1-2 years away from having it really student run, and students were running events and live streams within a couple of months. They really took to it.
Give everybody the website again where they can see the fruits of your labor and the fruits of the kids' labor.
www.modernday.org/livestream.
Perfect. Brian Barsulia, the Director of Event and Media Services here at Modern Day. I want to thank you for joining us and take a few minutes to explain to us and to our listeners, you know, the unique opportunities that Modern Day Monarch fans have to watch their favorite events go on here at Modern Day. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, once again, this is Brian Barsulia over here at Modern Day High School. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with much more right here on Catholic Sports View.
Located on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, Christ Cathedral Academy is a preschool through eighth grade private Catholic school offering an excellent and well-rounded education. Program features include a dynamic choral program, Meet the Masters arts program, and a full orchestra ensemble. Additionally, the Academy offers a one-to-one technology program, integrating iPads, smart boards, and digital curriculum into every classroom. At Christ Cathedral Academy, our mission is to form leaders who share the rewards of religious and academic study so that they may praise God, bless our world, and preach the truth. We are now enrolling students for the next academic year. Call to schedule a tour and witness the amazing opportunities your child could be receiving at Christ Cathedral Academy. Call to schedule a tour, 714-663-2330, or visit christcathedral.academy.
If you or someone you know has gone through the pain of divorce, you know how overwhelming it can be. At the Diocese of Orange, we want to be a resource of hope in your time of need. Join us Saturday, November 4th on the campus of Christ Cathedral Garden Grove for a conference called Divorce, the Catholic Community Creating Bridges of Hope. Cost is $50 per person or $40 per person for groups of two or more. For more info, call 714-282-6001 or visit the Facebook page OC Pastoral Care. Sponsored by the Dioceses of Orange and San Bernardino.
Thanks for sticking with us here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. Dan Albano, senior writer with the Orange County Register, is joining us. He's got the high school beat. OCVarsity.com is one of the best sites to go to, even if you don't get the Orange County Register as a newspaper, and you should, for nothing else, for their high school sports section. But OCVarsity.com, just a wealth of information, and Dan's a big part of that over there. Dan, again, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. I kind of want to go over your career and what got you into sports writing. You mentioned you were an athlete in high school and you went on to Cal State Fullerton. Did you always have your eye on journalism?
You know, I pretty much did. When I was in high school, I worked a little bit on my high school newspaper, and I wrote on some of the sports teams, and I did some contributions to my local community paper, which was a biweekly paper, the Saddleback Valley News out in down in South Orange County. And so I was writing about some of the lower-level teams in my high school, and I went to Cal State Fullerton because of their fine journalism program. It was came to the forefront under the former professor, and they had a lot of great professors and teachers there, but the advisor of note was Jay Berman, and I was fortunate to get a little exposure with Jay and obviously be part of the great program they had at Cal State Fullerton. And you know, along those lines that you're talking about, was when I got as a freshman, stepped on Cal State Fullerton's campus and went right to the Daily Titan as the school newspaper, and went to the office of the Daily Titan and found Jay Berman quite early on. And I asked him, "Hey, Jay, I want to start working for the Daily Titan. That's why I'm here. I want to be a journalism major. I want to get started." And he told me to, you know, slow down just a little bit there, son. And you know, you need to, you know, be a college student first. So take that first year and learn how to be a college student, get your grades, get your classes, learn how to handle things at the college level, and come back. And I did, and I had a great tenure at a great time. And during my years at Cal State Fullerton and the Daily Titan, I spent a lot of time out there, about 3 years strong at the Daily Titan. And I learned everything I just about know at the Daily Titan. My foundation was all set there, and I was able to have some areas of leadership and work with some great professors and advisors there, and a lot of great colleagues. And there's many colleagues at the Register that are Cal State Fullerton alums. One of our top editors, Todd Harmonson, is from Cal State Fullerton. There's a lot of people. Steve Fryer is another one. At one point, you know, I remember I was in the newsroom at Cal State Fullerton one day, and an editor with the LA Times, who's probably a Cal State Fullerton grad, I'm pretty sure, was saying, "Hey, we need guys to come, kids, college students to come answer phones at the LA Times in the sports department. Does anybody want to come over and earn some money and learn? And I was one of the guys that said, yeah, of course. And you know, these small opportunities to answer phones and to be around other professionals who start to teach you the ins and outs of the newspaper business, and then you get some, and then it leads to little opportunities to write some articles, to cover some games, to, you know, do some shadowing, and then you can land a job and kind of keep progressing. So I always wanted to do high school sports in Orange County, and I've always really been attracted to the way the Orange County Register treated high school sports. I always felt like they, you know, it was a great place to cover high school sports because, you know, the Register gave it such a prominent, enthusiastic coverage.
Yeah.
They really treated it so well. So that was something that was, you know, very attractive. I thought made the Register so different. And, you know, being a, and then the way they built the community through that. So that was something that I always really wanted to be part of.
It's so true. I mean, in the ever-changing landscape of high school sports, you know, covered, you know, by newspapers, I mean, it's Steve Fryer, yourself, Eric Sonheimer, and Frank Burleson, I think, are the four names who have been around, I think, the longest, you know, that kind of the four of you really covering high school sports here on the newspaper side for so long. It really says something, especially in today's newspaper landscape, as we know, it says something to have longevity in that business.
Well, you're putting me in some esteemed company there. Those guys are all legends and have been doing it longer than me and better than me. But you mentioned with those guys, I have a lot of respect for all those guys, and they do a great job, you know. And obviously, Steve being the guy that I know the best, and the newspaper business has definitely changed. There's been, you know, there's been many layoffs and ownership changes, and so it's been a challenging industry. I've, you know, a lot of the colleagues that I've worked with are no longer with us, and there's some survivors that have made it a long time. And some, you know, I went back a few years ago. I went to you know, Cal State Fullerton, and the Daily Titan had an anniversary dinner and a big celebration. A lot of my ex-students and my old classmates, they weren't in the field of journalism. They were in related fields or had gone in different directions in their careers. So I feel very fortunate to have done it as long as I have done it. And I still really excited and driven to do it. And, but, you know, we've had to learn some new skills. We've had to be flexible. You know, we've had to roll with the punches. All of us with high school sports, you know, I'm sure yourself included. I mean, we're doing this for the love of it. We're not, you know, a wealthy endeavor where we're becoming millionaires. And, you know, and I'm speaking just like a lot of the high school coaches. They're doing it because they like to be around kids. They're not, you know, for the most part, you know, some of them are teachers, but a lot of them, I mean, the time that they put in, these coaches put in so much more time than they're obviously compensated for. And because they like to be around kids, they like to help kids. They like to, it helps them keep, stay young. They like the competition, and they're doing it out of the, you know, their heartfelt motivations, you know, real good pure and motivations for the most part. So, and I like to think that's, you know, that I, you know, I also like to be around high school kids, and I like to talk to these kids on their way up, and a lot of the life lessons that they learn, I like to hear some of the motivations behind their you know, their triumphs, and yeah, sometimes they, you know, they overcome a lot of things as well.
You're exactly right. It's such a fun beat. I mean, you know, like yourself, like so many others, you know, we've all gotten a chance to cover some collegiate and professional sports over time. But I'll tell you, the high school beat, there's nothing like it. There's, you know, we're all looking for a good story. You know, we all want to tell a good story. That's what we got into this. And there's always so many good stories every year in prep sports. It's just amazing how it works out that way.
Yeah, like you, I think that's what you said at the at our awards banquet. That when you were presenting JT, that you like to tell stories. And yeah, and I like to tell stories, and I like to be around these stories from young, enthusiastic boys and girls, you know, that aren't jaded yet by money, that are playing for the joy of the game, to be with their teammates, see what they can accomplish, how far they can push themselves. You know, there's some kids that do some amazing things as scholar athletes as well. And there's some smart kids out there that go some incredible places. And I'm blown away. I mean, one of the ones from the Trinity League that I had a really nice chat with recently was our swimmer of the year, the girls swimmer of the year from Santa Margarita, Samantha Shelton, who won the award for the second time in a row. And, you know, she's got a, you know, a GPA well over 2.0. I mean, to me, 4.0.
Yeah.
That wouldn't, 4.0. I didn't think it was 4.2 or something like that. But, you know, she's an outstanding swimmer, swims year-round in a club team with the Nadador, swims for Santa Margarita. And then, you know, she's also studying Chinese. She's taking some, you know, high-level classes for business and has a business sense in Chinese. And it's amazing that what these kids can accomplish. And it was great to hear the resolve and determination of some of these young athletes. You know, the young people can do some amazing things.
Yeah, those are the stories that are fun to tell. You're absolutely right. You know, you mentioned you were the young guy, you know, once upon a time, and I'm not trying to say you're old. we're all getting there, but we're all still young at heart, right? But have you had the chance to become the mentor now? You mentioned the people who mentored you. You know, you're at that point in your career maybe where you're able to mentor some other young reporters who are looking for your counsel and your advice on how to get into this business.
I have done that, and I like to do more of it. Whenever I have a chance, I definitely, you know, definitely see the value in that and something that I want to do. And, you know, there's been times over the last couple of years, you know, I'll have a shadow reporter with me. A young reporter will come out to a football game, and I'll show them how I cover a football game and how we keep stats and how we get the story in the paper and what you have to do. And I've enjoyed doing that a lot, and that's a lot of fun where you get to give back. And, you know, I've done a couple interviews with, you know, some kids that are doing college projects, you know, and the last one I talked to was a student at Saddleback College with the Lariat paper. And, you know, he's doing it, and, you know, he's interested in journalism. You know, he'll talk to me about our operation at OC Varsity and how we do it and how I got started and what kind of the job is like. And they asked some good questions about the pros and cons, and they're very realistic. You know, how much money do you make? You know, what kind of benefits do you have? What are the pros and cons of your job? What do you like? What don't you like? You know, what's the longevity? What's the, you know, what's the digital presence? How are you trying to survive with your job? What's the outlook like? And I like answering all those questions and being honest with them. And I think that's one of the things that journalism does well. You know, like I said, I got some great mentors. I was able to do some internships and start working at a young age. And I think as a whole, as an industry, journalism is very welcoming. And I think, you know, you ask, you know, young reporters, young kids interested in journalism. I think you talk to any, writers, they'll be willing to help you and give you some tips. And I'm always looking to do that. You know, whatever I can do to help kids get internships, get them in the right direction. We try to help people join this crazy profession. Which is sometimes daunting and sometimes doesn't look the great, the outlook sometimes doesn't look that good, but there's a lot of, different venues and, you know, kids like to write and they like to be part of the media, and we're trying to be more very digital, and there's a lot of kids that are interested in that as well.
Yeah, it's so rewarding. It really is. Well, Dan, I know football season is right around the corner for all of us. You're the Trinity League guy over at the Register, so we'll definitely be talking to you down the line. Want to thank you for coming on and spending a few minutes with us here on Catholic Sports U, and we'll be in touch and we'll be talking as we get closer to a brand new school year, which is just around the corner.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure, and I would wish you a great summer. And I would love to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely. That's Dan Albano, senior writer with the Orange County Register. I want to thank my guests this week. If you want to catch this show or any of the others here on Catholic Sports View, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. Click on the link, and you can look at all the shows we've done over these past several months here, as we've had a lot of fun bringing you a look at the Trinity League here on Catholic Sports View. My name is Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.